Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big Three at three. Number one.
All right, number one, as the Texans actually now turn the page and get ready for the Minnesota Vikings go on the road as they start on the field practice today. They made some news, and I want to get to DeMeco as he has some words about this. Brevin Jordan, who has been a tight end here, who has been playing in a lot of different roles, lined up in the backfield, lined up as an end tight end. But one of the weapons here that they have, they've placed him on IR. So he's going to miss at least 4 weeks. Here is his head coach, DeMeco Ryans, with his latest update on Brevin Jordan.
Man, first and foremost, it's really heartbreaking losing Brevin. Brevin was on his way to a breakout year. I feel sorry for Brevin, and the injury, anytime guys go through these injuries, it's always tough. So first thing first, it's about Brevin and him just attacking rehab the right way and getting back as soon as he can. But Rip was really excited with where he was headed. We have some slack to pick up there. Cade, Dalton, everybody had to step up, right, and try to fill that role.
All right, so that is the latest there. Let's take that first. Brevin Jordan being out. Clint, they haven't really used the tight end position that much in terms of production in the passing game, but they have been heavily involved in the run game. How big a miss do you think is? Obviously, Dalton Schultz is the primary target there at tight end, but how big a deal do you think this is, Brevin Jordan being missed?
I think it's big. I mean, more so because you don't have another Brevin Jordan in the building that knows the offense. I think the tight end room will be fine. Dalton Schultz is Dalton Schultz. He's the starting tight end. He's the guy that you feel is going to impact the game the most, right? And then you look at Cade Stover. Cade Stover's played some fullback, a little bit more of that inline tight end. Can he get it done? Absolutely, but he's a rookie, so you'd like to somewhat be able to manage the workload that you put on him in terms of what you ask him to do game in, game out. You should be a very small package. Cade Stover, know this inside and out, be able to execute it, be able to know it, play fast and not think, and let's go play football. With Brevin Jordan not being there, now you're going to have to either eliminate that package that included Brevin Jordan, that two tight end package that was a little bit more explosive, that was a little bit more pass-oriented. You either eliminate that from the game plan, or now you got to ask a guy like Cade Stover, at least for 1 week, to go out there and do those things. Very capable of it, but he's not Brevin Jordan. So I do think while you're not losing a starter, you're definitely losing a player that they were expecting to contribute in a major way and has a ceiling that's high enough from an explosive speed standpoint that has the ability to change games. And if we're being honest, this year through two games, damn sure in the Indianapolis game, the way that Brevin Jordan is willing to stick his nose in there and block in a run game is significantly better than it was last year. So you're missing a piece there that you can depend on as well. It totally makes the signing, which, by the way, they have signed to the Texans practice squad, Irv Smith Jr. Yeah. It totally makes that make sense. Irv Smith is cut from the mold, if you will, of Brevin Jordan. A little bit more explosive, a little bit more agile, a little bit more of an H-back versus a tight end. But it's going to take him some time to get up to speed. I don't know how familiar he is with the Texans offense. I know he spent some time with a couple of teams that have probably some very, very similar terminology. But to think that guy's going to get signed on a Wednesday and have the offense down on a Sunday, it might be a little bit much to ask, given you've got other options. So it's a big deal. You're going to lose that package. You're going to lose that explosiveness from the game plan. So at least for a week until Irv Smith gets caught up, it's going to change things offensively for the Texans.
Yeah, especially when you hear how DeMeco put it, said he sees him as a guy that's potentially going to break out.
Going to have a breakout year. He was ready to have a breakout year. It's a knee with Brevin Jordan, by the way. So hopefully he can get rehabbed up and get back. But I really like Irv Smith for what it's worth, especially if you're going to ask him to do some Brevin Jordan type stuff. You know, if that mold, I think he's a very capable option there. I don't expect him to be much this week, but I would expect him longer term in the next 3-4 weeks to maybe fill that role.
For that role. Because it's not like he's coming to the role of the starter. Like, it's that.
Yeah,
role.
Well, the good thing is again, it's like even with Brevin, it's a little bit more of a package. You know, you got your base offense. Every tight end needs to know all the responsibilities, all the rules in the run game. Whether it's one tight end set or two tight end set, like all your tight ends, your base offense, you need to know it. But beyond that, when it comes to things that are pulled and pushed in and out of the lineup, I mean, in and out of the game plan week in, week out, it's a little bit more package oriented. So, look, it's Wednesday. I mean, I could see Irv having the very basic runs down to where he can play a number two tight end and having maybe a small package where he is literally like a featured guy. I don't know why the Texans would do that given all their weapons, but he could handle, not knowing him, just being a professional for as long as he's been a professional, I would think that he could handle that kind of mental workload over the next handful of days to be ready to play by Sunday if need be.
More on the injury front with the Texans. It's a Wednesday practice. Joe Mixon, who has the ankle injury, did not practice today. Damian Pierce is backup, who has the hamstring strain, did not practice today. And both the centers, Juice Scruggs, who started in week one, and as well as Jarrett Patterson, who started week two, both of them did not practice today, which, as we talked about earlier, makes the Quisenberry signing to the practice squad make more sense. But all four of those guys didn't practice today. We'll see what this means for the rest of the week. It will be obviously a big deal if those guys don't practice tomorrow because their likelihood to play drops. On the Vikings side of things, Justin Jefferson participated in practice today. He had that quad injury that had him he walked back into the locker room in their game against the 49ers and didn't play towards the end of that game. But it looks like he is on track, according to Adam Schefter. He's on track to play in this game. So those are the injuries that we'll be following all week long at this point. But the big news here, Brevin Jordan goes to IR, and then looking at Juice Scruggs and Joe Mixon to see where their status will be.
Big 3-3, number two.
Towards the middle, knocked down by Kessinger, ball game over.
What a play!
Kessinger hadn't played since mid-July, and he knocks one down and makes an incredible play to win a game. Profar yelling at the umpires. He told them he wasn't hit by that pitch. This is one of the craziest endings you'll ever see.
Very unhappy with how this game was officiated.
Todd Callis, Jeff Blum losing their minds. That audio courtesy of Space Home Network as the Astros, as they did say, that game was crazy.
It feels huge.
It was a huge win and a crazy, crazy game, Clint. But right there, and this is the kind of the start of, hey, the Astros, they've been here before, done this a lot, Clint. When Kessinger, who has not played since July, comes up, steps up, stays ready, and that's not an easy play at all. That ball was hit really, really hard by Manny Machado up the middle, took a hop that he had to get and toss over. You could see the emotion out of him and Jeremy Pena. What a finish to what a crazy, crazy, crazy game where the umpires were featured way too much.
Well, not only were they featured, but it's unacceptable. It was the guy hit by the pitch or not? No, he was not. Okay, well, let's give him first base. Yeah, he was hit after replay.
Which end was he looking from?
All you got to do is ask for help on the ball hitting out Tuve's foot and then going to the third baseman. Instead, you're hard-headed. You don't get it right. You completely miss that when it leads to Altuve getting kicked out and Espada getting kicked out. It was not just the officials were too involved. It was an awful job by the officials the entire game, really, if we're being completely honest. If you really want to get down in the weeds, off in the weeds about it, it was bad all the way around. But what a play by Gray Kessinger at second
base.
Hell
of a play. Maybe play of the year right now.
Yeah, great play to end that game. One thing that
Joey Loperfido would like to have a word.
One thing
Who?
that One thing that Tony Gwynn Jr. said that I thought was something that we probably should have mentioned, but these two games, Astros Padres, have been high intensity, not playoff caliber, but damn near it for a regular season game. It felt like it. So for Gray Kessinger to be in the game in that environment, a lot of hostility, if you will, in last night's game.
Hey, he didn't think he was playing in that game yesterday.
No, well, he shouldn't have. But he finished that thing with an exclamation point. It was beautiful at the end there.
Yeah, Diesel was good last night. Another great start.
Well done. That was smooth.
Yeah, old Diesel Brown with another great start last night. As he goes 6 innings, 2 runs. As Tony said, I bet he wish he had that walk. Maybe he'd have got that inning. But he does his job, and they hang on through a lot going against them. A lot of plays where it's frustrated. Rarely do you see both teams pissed off at the umpires on the same call. Whew.
Astros had to beat the Padres and the umpiring crew last night, boys.
And as Tony said, they felt like the Padres felt like they had to beat that umpiring, try to beat that umpiring crew and the Astros last night.
I'm glad we're on that side of it.
Yeah, they think they lost to both.
Especially given the Astros' record in extra innings this season, they needed that dub.
I will never forget the astonishment on the face of both teams when that replay came back and said, "Call stands." When Profar got hit, both. I mean,
it was that egregious.
He was standing at home plate.
What is going on?
He was ready. I mean, he's a lefty and won it. I said, okay.
I don't quite know how you miss that in the review.
I don't either. I don't either. And they looked a lot. What was about 3 or 4 minutes? They held Josh Hader.
Oh, yeah.
The 1-0 call.
Before the wild pitch, yes. Yeah.
What was that about, man?
Yeah. They did not have their stuff together, boys.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. But they get back at it tonight. Lineup is out as well. Altuve, he is in, even though he was ejected. He's the DH tonight. Alvarez, Bregman, and now they have Diaz catching, batting fourth. Singleton, Pena, Hayward, Dubon, and Myers out there. It looks like Kyle Tucker gets the night off. Let's see some better swings tonight, Yiner Diaz. How about we see some better swings out of you tonight? That one in the eighth inning, that was just didn't give them a chance. But big win for them. We'll see if they can win the series tonight.
Big 3-3, number 3.
You know, Wednesday's really generally a slow day in the sports world, but what has really jumped off is, Woj! Woj laid the biggest Woj bomb ever. And I'm telling you, he retires from his job at ESPN. By the way, folks, Woj is walking away from $20 million. Over $20 million, which is left on his contract. And he goes and takes the job that I didn't know existed. He is leaving ESPN as their top NBA insider. And Woj might be the top insider in the business. I mean, there's Schefter and there's Rappaport, but Woj, like the Woj bomb thing is a thing. He's agreed to become the general manager. I didn't know that was a thing. I thought they were athletic.
It's becoming directors. A thing, man. It's becoming a thing.
So they have general manager. He's the general manager of the men's.
You got to figure out how to handle his money.
Yeah, men's basketball program at St. Bonaventure, where that is his alma mater. So he goes there. He's leaving ESPN. I got to be honest. At first, I looked at him like, damn, he's leaving this? But that has got to be a job that, like, I don't know, man. Every single waking moment, my phone, I'm getting information. I'm talking with people on my phone. That's got to be one that you could get tired of. And I know the money's good. So. Yeah, the money's good. And like, he's probably just like, I can't do this for 30 years. And he found a job and kind of not a surprise now, but Woj was that guy, and ESPN seemed to be surprised that it was not something that they saw coming in this thing. But they, of course, let him roll and let him do his thing.
Big-time opportunity for somebody out there in that news-breaking world.
I sent out a tweet today. I said, I wondered if Shams knew when he woke up today that this was going to be a game-changer. Because he's the number one guy. If I'm ESPN, I would imagine they are – trying hard to go take him from from wherever he is. Last I remember, he was with Yahoo. I think he may have changed, but wherever he is, I bet you they're going to come hard after him, because after Woj, he was the next guy. They were 1-2 in that thing, so we'll see. We'll see what happens there. All right, coming up, C.J. Stroud spoke to the media. We'll let you hear what C.J. had to say as he talks to the media as they get a chance to go on the road and play the Minnesota Vikings. That's coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, let's head to NRG and hear from the quarterback as he spoke to the media today. Here is C.J. Stroud from NRG.
Scrambling. Are you actually seeing the entire field? Because it looks like you know where everybody is on the field. Is that part of the design of the play, you know, on the offense, or is that just freelance work with your receivers?
It's more so just backyard football, making plays. I don't really see everything, but I try to just, you know, if I have to, I don't like having the scrambles. If I can send the pocket and deliver throws, that's what I want to do. But at the same time, I feel like I am elite at scrambling and I can do it. I think I put it on film. But I don't really know exactly where everybody's going, but I just try to get a picture and like, okay, what was the play? What way am I going? What way would they match me, or whatever the case may be? So just backyard football, I really don't have an answer for that. I just try to just make a play and just, you know, have fun out there.
CJ, Brian Flores, before the snap, has his guys doing a lot. Sometimes it's real, they're blitzing, sometimes they're backing out. What do you see from a lot of the things he does to try to create some chaos before and after snaps?
Yeah, he does a great job of mixing it up. A lot of great looks to make you think twice and, you know, to get you off your game. And, you know, I'm a big fan of his. He does a really great job in that whole scheme, taking, you know, what they did in New England and doing his own twist to it. So a lot of respect for those guys. And we got to be on our A game in every single way. So, yeah, he does a great job of mixing looks and just being really versatile, putting his guys and his D linemen in one-on-one situations, making his DBs look great in coverage. So he does a really good job. Really just go through my process, understand that, you know, he might get you one time, he might get you twice. It's not about, you know, hanging your head down. It's about the next play and making the next play your best. So he does a great job of making a quarterback think twice and, like, think about what he's doing. You know, so it's my job just to be myself and do what I always do and just try to just be comfortable.
Balance that, trusting what you see versus also knowing the fact that he's trying to confuse you. Like, how do you delegate that balance?
Just trust my process, trust in what I do, believe in myself, and it won't always be perfect. It's the league, man. Even like these last couple of weeks, not everything is going to be perfect. So it's always about the next time. If it's cute, ugly, there's no such thing as a win. And so that's what we're trying to do, and it's going to be a great challenge, be a loud environment, so we got to be on that. But yeah, it's about just being us.
How much would you say, just to follow up on that, how much would you say of an emphasis there is this week on trying to play within the pocket? You've done a lot of scrambling over the first couple of weeks, and you mentioned earlier that you prefer not to do it. How much of a coaching point is that this week?
It's not a coaching point. They let me play, man. Slow does a good job of just, he always says, man, I just want to let you go out there and be you. And I don't think I'll stop doing it or start doing it more. I'll just be myself, man, trying to make plays.
You talked about what Flores presents, just with that defense, some of the things that you've seen from looking at film, the challenges that they present as a defense.
Just chaos, man. They run around, they show looks, bluff looks. They just do a lot of great things to, you know, put their guys in position, but they know their issues. So, and then they play really hard. Like, they got, you know, Blake Cashman, who was my former teammate last year, I have a ton of respect for, running the show. And, you know, JG, who I know is for sure probably the leader of the D-line, got them boys hunting too. So, you know, and then on the back end, they do a great job as well. Got Stephon Gilmore, who's a great vet, along with Cam Bynum, who was actually from where I'm from. So watching him since all the way, he was in high school at Centennial. A lot of respect for him. And Harrison Smith has been playing at a high level for a very, very long time. So, man, they got some guys, man, and they've been putting on film. So, you know, you got to have an awareness about the stuff they're doing, but also just be ourselves.
Had a lot of success on misdirection plays last week and also late last season. Are those kind of looks that you like when Bobby draws it up like that specifically?
Yeah, I mean, we Case used to say this phrase last year, you call it, we ball it. So I really don't mind. Whatever you call it, bro, I'm going to try to make it work. And I'm not going to try. I'm going to do. I love whatever slow draws. He's very smart and very intelligent. And I trust anything he's
going
to call.
Thoughts on Rev going on IR?
One more time. Yeah, man, it's tough, man. I'm praying for him. Man, if you want to talk about the heartbeat of this team, man, it's who he is, man. He's somebody who loves hard, and he loves everybody in this building. He loves ball. And, you know, I think he was really getting his momentum on just who he wanted to be in this league and how he wanted to approach practice. So praying for him, you know, I know he's a faith-based man. You know, God makes no mistakes, and he knows that. So I'm not worried about him, but I am going to be a brother that he can lean on. And, man, I love Brad, man. He's my brother for the rest of my life. And I really, you know that he'll be back soon and he'll do great things when he comes back.
The hardest part about how close y'all are as a team, I know it's kind of next man up and all that, but you have relationships with these guys, they help you on the field. Does that get, I don't want to say easier, but how hard is that? Just to kind of wipe to the side.
Worst thing about football is losing teammates to other teams and injuries. If you can take that away, I think the support would be perfect. But those are things that we sign up for, and we understand that those are the risks that we take. And I don't think it's anything that we should want people to feel bad for us. We signed up for it. Like, we're, Brev always talks about, we're modern day gladiators. And it's something that we're paid a lot of money to entertain and to put on a show. And we know that there's a risk. There's a risk to anything in the world. You probably go through things in your life that you risk to be successful, just like I do. You know what I mean? So nobody's perfect. Nobody's special. But, you know, I think the perspective I look at on life is like, yeah, we signed up for it. And it's our job to, you know, put on that show. And we're all blessed, and we're very thankful. I'm very grateful for the position I'm in, even though it's not easy. But like I always try to talk about, just pressure is a privilege. Pressure's been a privilege for a long time, but I'm just now figuring that out. So, yeah, I just feel that way about that.
You mentioned before that you check in on some teams around the league, and you mentioned Minnesota before. What do you like that they do on offense, and what stood out to you?
I love Kevin O'Connell. I think he's a great coordinator. I think he's a great leader. I think he's somebody who played quarterback, so he understands what it is to be back there. And so I'm a huge fan of his. I'm a huge fan of just really their environment, just up there in Minnesota, going to a place like Ohio State. It's very similar, just not a small town, but a town that loves ball, a town that rallies around their team and wants to be there every time they can. I really just, you know, respect those guys up there. They've had years and years of success. Just a ton of respect for everything that they got going on. I'm excited to go up there and compete against them.
You're listening to C.J. Stroud, quarterback, right here live on The Drive.
Relationship with the center and how you go about establishing that, and what is that process like when, you know, obviously you talked about injuries being one of the downsides of the game, but when you're having to change from week to week basis, how do you try to catch up the fish
game? Yeah, it's something that is something I had to learn when I got to the NFL, because there's so many games. You got preseason, a lot of guys playing preseason on our team, and you got hard training camp, then you go straight into the season. So, man, you got to really be taking care of your body. And the sad thing is, some things are inevitable. Like, you're going to get hurt. It just happens. So it's up to me to, you know, be like what my coach told me when I got to Ohio State. Todd Fitch was just saying, man, the most important job for you is to make everybody around you better and to make people feel comfortable, but also push people. And I think, you know, last year I had the chance to have three centers, and now I'm on my third center in week three. And I hope J-Pat and Juice are fine. You know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, it's next man up, got to go out there and win a football game. So I'm a big believer in KG. I think Kendrick has a lot of great upside. He's very fast, quick, mobile, strong. So, and I've been working with him since he got here last year. So I see us not slowing down.
CJ, I've got time for a couple more. Your interaction with Caleb post-game on Sunday, why was it important for you to go over there and give him that advice about stop taking those specific hits and also give him some encouragement about, you know, moving forward and believing him and, you know, having all that protection?
I had some of the best advice given to me last year, and you know, me and Caleb, I was not trying to, like, treat him like I was trying to, like, little bro him or nothing. He knows that, too. I have a ton of respect for him. I told him I had respect for him. But I had so many guys coming to me after games last year, and that meant the world to me, that those guys even thought about giving me advice. So I just try to give back to what the game has given to me. So I wish him the best, man. I want him to do amazing in this league. I think he will. I think that he'll get his groove. And once you get your rhythm, I didn't get my rhythm until like week three, week four. So I can see him, his game picking up from here. And so, and you know, I don't think he was trying to, like, you know, be any towards away. He's just upset that they lost. I totally understand. So I have a ton of respect for that guy, man. I want him to do extremely well, just like any other guy, until we play on that day. You know what I mean? And after the game, we can be cool. You know what I mean? But I'm definitely, you know, rooting for him and want to see him do extremely well.
Hey, CJ, last two. Is there anything that you did different this offseason in terms of just your body, from all that you learned last year, getting ready for this year? Do anything differently?
Yeah, I took a ton of advice from vets. I actually had a couple questions for Tom Brady when I got to see him this summer. I actually talked to just a ton of guys, like, just about, like, what was a ramp up, because I never really had an off season, and a lot of advice was just slow yourself into it, because training camp's hard, the season's hard, so you don't want to be 100% all year round, because you'll run out. So really just a gradual build up. So I worked on just a lot of rotational things, a lot of balance. My guy Clint here, who came from UT, has been amazing, who helped me out just a ton getting stronger, not only just, you know, with my legs and my upper body, but just core, my flexibility, being able to, you know, stretch my T-spine, just little things to, like, be able to like, move at an efficient level. And I think I've actually felt a lot better on the field, moving, making guys miss, running around when I have to, slight movements in the pocket. So just a lot of things that I worked on that's starting to pay off, and hopefully it continues to do that.
CJ, you alluded to it. You already talked about Blake and JG. Mm-hmm. What about that idiosyncrasy that, because y'all have developed some camaraderie, you know, last year being together, but now you got the, you know, the opposite side. Is this something going to be different about mind game that they may try to play on you, and vice versa, you know, by lining up on the opposite side of?
No, I know them like the back of my hand. No, I'm messing with you. I don't know. We got to go out there and see. Them boys know I love them. I seen Blake in Vegas at the Super Bowl, and we chopped it up before he actually left the team. So we were trying to, because he was up on his contract, we were trying to figure it out, and I was trying to help him, you know, and I wanted him back, and same thing with JG. But, you know, some things don't work out like that. You never have the same team that you ended with. But, you know, I'm ready to compete against them. I know them boys ready to hit me, because they didn't get to hit me last year. So, you know, it's going to be fun.
Do you recall where you were? If you watched the Minnesota Miracle when Stephon and Case pulled it off against the Saints?
Oh, I don't. That was a long time ago. That was a cool play, though.
All right, that is CJ Stroud, and understand the nickname for Blake Cashman.
Oh, Black.
Oh, Black. Oh, Black. I see you there.
Oh, Black.
All right, he had a lot to say there. He spoke of the Caleb Williams situation. I want to get into how they talked about the center position, because that was an interesting sound, the way he was talking, almost past tense for Juice Scruggs, almost like he won't be potentially ready to go coming up on Sunday. We'll get to that as we continue right here live.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hop on the drive.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. We just heard from C.J. Stroud as he spoke to the media. Had a lot of interesting things to say, but Tyler did a great job in the break getting what he had to say about the center position. As we said today, Jarrett Patterson, who started last week, he did not practice today. And then the normal starter, Juice Scruggs, he didn't practice after missing last week's game. He didn't practice as well today. So their top two centers didn't practice. They signed Scott Quisenberry yesterday to the practice squad. Here was, and it was interesting because Clint, because reports that we've gotten and seen is that Juice Scruggs is on track to play in the game Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings. But this was CJ talking about the center position.
Yeah, it's something that is something I had to learn when I got to the NFL. Because there's so many games. You have preseason, a lot of guys playing preseason on our team, and you got hard training camp, then you go straight into the season. So, man, you got to really be taking care of your body. And the sad thing is, some things are inevitable. Like, you're going to get hurt. It just happens. So it's up to me to, you know, be like what my coach told me when I got to Ohio State. Todd Fitch was just saying, man, the most important job for you is to make everybody around you better and to make people feel comfortable, but also push people. And I think, you know, last year I had the chance to have three centers, and now I'm on my third center in week three. And I hope J-Pat and Juice are fine. You know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, it's next man up, got to go out there and win a football game. So I'm a big believer in KG. I think Kendrick has a lot of great upside. He's very fast, quick, mobile, strong. So, and I've been working with him since he got here last year. So I see us not slowing down.
And the person he's referring to is Kendrick Green, who has mostly been playing at left guard. Him and Kenyon Green, I guess you could say at a time, was at a battle for that left guard spot. But he is who is in practice working with him as at the center position. And Clint, I know we were listening to that. You said that almost made you feel like that maybe the Juice Scruggs returning is not as potentially in the cards as maybe we thought.
Well, I mean, I guess somebody's got to practice it, but I mean, I just, if Sunday, which was 3 days ago, you're trying it out and seeing if you can play a full speed game, full contact, full quarter game, I was under the impression, or I felt like that he would for sure be practicing to some extent on Wednesday and Thursday.
Game time decision.
If you're a game time decision to then go on not play and miss the next week, then clearly it's a little bit worse than a possible game time decision. So CJ's talking about you know, his third center in 3 weeks, and he did a phenomenal job of explaining how we as fans should probably feel pretty comfortable with it, because once again, Bobby Slowick, D'Amico Ryans, the way they handle their business, very rarely are they caught with their pants down. Very rarely are they caught in a situation where it's like, uh-oh, what the hell are we going to do? We got to send somebody out there that can't get it done. No, Kendrick Green is built more like a center than he is a guard. His strengths that CJ outlined, the quick feet, the athletic ability is very, very suitable for center more so than guard. He's got shorter arms, and so, you know, I think he's a shorter individual and has shorter arms. That's tough. But at center, you're helping a lot instead of you're either getting help or you're helping somebody the majority of the time. Very rarely are you by yourself. And so Kendrick Green is an option that, you know, I think will be fine. And Obviously, CJ's been taking snaps from him for over a year. It's not so like it's some guy that they just signed. But yeah, that sounded like there's a chance that Juice Scruggs may not be ready this week, and that surprises me a bit. I thought he would for sure be ready to rock and roll.
Well,
this week.
Hopefully he's just talking about practice today, and he will be ready. Because I will say we watched it from the press box. I think they did take advantage of his absence. The Bears did. I think multiple times, and when it's on film, it's on tape, and you know Brian Flores is not afraid to send pressure. We saw them a lot of times just line up Edmonds and their other linebacker and just sit them
A-gap.
Right in A-gaps and rush, and they had some success, especially in that second half, getting pressures, if them not getting there or creating one-on-ones with other people. So that seemed to be something that worked for the Bears, and you could potentially see watching film that may be something that Brian Flores takes advantage of, and that's right there in that center spot. So hopefully Juice Scruggs can play, and then as you said, if not, next man up and Kendrick Green can perform there. Go ahead.
Look, you obviously get into a third center. I mean, it's going to be tough. It's not going to be ideal, but at the end of the day,
they did it last year.
The getting the snap and having a dude there that knows the offense and somebody that the quarterback is familiar with, to me is a huge plus. And again, you got to tip your cap to D'Amico and Bobby Slowick for just being prepared for what you hope would never happen, which is go through three centers in 3 weeks.
Yeah, where the hell is Michael Dieter when you need him?
Deets.
Hopefully
he's on somebody's roster.
Got to be somebody's roster. I saw old Cephas got picked up by the Rams today, who is in desperate need for wide receiver help when they've lost Cooper Kupp and Puka. Good for him. But hopefully we'll see. We'll keep an eye on that tomorrow. If we don't see those two guys practice, then that is a real eye opener. In that situation. All right, what you got coming up in the four?
Well, we got to talk about these Astros a little bit, Ron. There's something about last night that just really turned me on. I mean, there's plenty that turned me off. We've talked about the officials. We've talked about some of the decisions that were made. But there's something just really turned me on. And we got to talk about that in the next segment. We'll do that right here on Sports Radio 16.